And for the first time in 6 months, kids, you may go to Kids Church if you want. And parents throughout the sanctuary are clapping and applauding, and cheering. Yes, much rejoicing. This is their kingdom of God now. All right. So we are continuing our series that we kicked off several weeks ago, simply entitled Kingdom Come. And as we think about this, as we look at this idea of kingdom coming here to earth, it all has to start from somewhere. And we've been talking about this literally all summer long as we've gone through various series during this pandemic. Everything that is physical and visible begins with the spiritual and the invisible. Everything. And that also includes the kingdom of God. Jesus came to earth, and at this point, as we're going to look at in Matthew 13, for lack of a better term, Jesus was a rock star. He had been going out. He had been teaching things that were just radical ideas. He was doing healings. I mean, miracles all over the place. He had developed quite a following. And so as we read going into the beginning of Matthew 13, it says there were so many people that Jesus literally had to step onto a boat and kind of push away from the shore just so he could teach everyone who was there. So he has this audience, and Jesus, in all of his wisdom, knew that if he was going to teach something to an audience, he needed to know who his audience was. And so he looked over his audience, and he knew who they were. He knew their walks of life. He looked out, and we can know, based on the parables that he told, that a large, if not almost all of the majority of his audience were farmers. He looked at some, and there was women there, and as things were in those days, it was kind of at a point where men went out, they did all the work, whether they were fishing or maybe they were farming or carpentry, whatever it is that they were doing, the women would stay home and take care of the houses, and they would, you know, cook and raise the kids and all of those types of things. So he had to look out. He knew who his audience were. He knew who these men were. He knew who these women were. And so he starts teaching in parables. And a parable is just simply an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It's something that he's sharing. It's just, he's pulling out analogies from their life. And knowing that the people who were there were farmers, he started, and he talked about the parable of the soil. And we talked about it a few weeks ago. And that was something that registered, all these four types of soil, registered with all of these farmers. They knew exactly what Jesus was talking about. Last week, Timmy did an incredible job talking about the parable of the weeds. They understood the weed and the wheat and the way they would grow, and that they couldn't just go start pulling stuff out early, assuming it was a weed, because they may pull out the good stuff. They had to wait until it was bloomed, and had to wait until it was at the end of harvest and ready for harvest. They understood that. And then today, we're going to look at two more parables that really only cover three verses. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me. So we continue Matthew chapter 13. 31 through 33. The parable of the mustard seed and the yeast. Verse 31, he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all of your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch on its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. I'm going to ask if you would to pray for me as I pray for you. Lord, we just come before you this morning celebrating the worship that we just experienced through music. The idea, Lord, that in this battle of life, and it's a war that's already been won. That in these battles that we have, our battles of fear or anxiety or depression, fear from people or things that want to cause us harm, the enemy that attacks, that Lord, we can fight our battles knowing that you are the one that surrounds us. Lord, this morning as we dive into this idea and try to wrap our minds around what this kingdom of God, what this kingdom of heaven looks like, your role, your place, what it looks like on this earth, and our role in it. Lord, I pray that you just open our hearts and minds to the things that you want us to hear, that you will challenge us in a way that maybe we haven't been challenged in a long time. That God, we will not only be challenged, but convicted enough to go out, Lord, and to live the way that you desire us to live as sons and daughters of the Most High God. And Lord, we pray all of these things in your name. Amen. There is a common principle at play in nature, and Jesus really dove into that with this parable, these two parables. And the idea that Jesus was touching on, the principle that Jesus was getting across that everyone understood, is that anything large, anything big, had to start with a small beginning. An oak tree doesn't just rise up overnight. It starts with an acorn, and it takes years and years and years of maturity. A large corporation, a large business, whether it's Amazon or Target or Walmart or whatever the corporation may be, it all started in a small place. Someone's shop, someone's living room or dining room, sitting behind a computer trying to figure this out. It all started with a small dream. We look at other things in life, things that influence our life daily, social media, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, all of those things. None of that started overnight. It all started with something small. There had to be the first follow. There had to be the first like. And it kind of grew from there. We just look around at ourselves as humans. None of us were born as full-grown adults. We were all born as infants. We look around at the animals of the world, the exact same thing. Some of the largest animals were the smallest babies at one point, right? Everything large started with something small, even the church. There's not been a single church that has just kind of opened its doors one day and had thousands of people just sitting there. It all started with something small, a dream that or a mission that was planted in someone's heart to want to call people together to be a church. Jesus is at the foundation, at the very early stages of building this church, of building this moment. And Jesus had to get them to understand that this kingdom of God, this kingdom of heaven, which everyone was expecting to come roaring in and him to come in and like a big explosion and just kind of change the world overnight, he had to get them to understand that that's not the way that he works. That's not the way that the kingdom of God operates. And so what does he do? He looks around, he sees his audience, and he understands that his audience is full of farmers. So he's been preaching about soil, he's been preaching about weeds. And at some point, maybe there were some seeds, some mustard seeds, laying around in that boat that he was standing in teaching. But I can just envision him bending down and picking up a seed. And nobody could see the seed because it was so small. They wouldn't have been able to even see it in his hand. And Jesus starts to make it very personal. He says in verse 31, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field." They understood that. They had all been there. They were farmers. They had all planted these seeds. And I love the way this says. It says, "And though it is the smallest of all of your seeds." He's not sitting here saying, hey, he's not talking about something they don't understand. He's not talking about the smallest seed that's ever been made. He's saying, look, you know the deal. This is the smallest of your seeds. You know what will happen when you plant this. And he goes in and explains to them, "Though it's the smallest of all of your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air can come and perch on its branches." They understood this. Now there's some, argument over what type of seed, mustard seed it was, but the part that isn't argued is this. No matter what type of mustard seed it was, the average height for what would have been grown in that region was 6 to 10 feet tall. They understood this concept that if something was going to start, it would start small, but man, what could it grow into? That this tiny seed that Jesus would hold in his hand from the boat that no one on the shore could even see because it was so small, but they would understand because they were farmers and they planted these seeds because we know that they were their seeds. They understood what would happen. There was no mystery there. They knew if I plant this seed, if I water the seed, if everything is done right, then this thing is going to grow, and it's not going to grow into just a little small plant. It's not something like along the ground kind of vegetation, vine-ish type thing. It's going to grow into a bush that's almost going to resemble a tree. And it's going to be 6 to 10 feet tall. And it's going to be so tall that the birds of the air can come and rest on its branches. They got that. They understood exactly what Jesus was talking about as far as an illustration goes. But as we know with parables, it goes a lot deeper than just what's on the surface. It goes a lot deeper than the physical and the visible. With parables, everything deals with the invisible and the spiritual. So what did Jesus mean? Well, it's three parts of this story. The first part of the story is obviously the mustard seed and the plant that grows. What Jesus is saying is this. He's saying the kingdom of heaven, I am the root of this. Jesus is the root. Jesus is the source. Jesus is the foundation. The seed that gets planted, that is me. This tree, this bush that grows, that is me. I am the one that is growing this. I am the kingdom of God. I am God in the flesh. I am here for you. This kingdom will be planted and it will grow. I am the root of it. The second thing that we learn from this tree is that it has branches. The branches that Christ is talking about here are us. He is talking about followers of Jesus. And we know this because in the book of John, Jesus talks about we are the branches. Even in Romans chapter 11, Paul talks about we are the branches. This idea that followers of Jesus are branches is not something that was just pulled out of air. Jesus knew the idea that he was trying to plant here. He knew what he wanted them to understand, that I am the root of the kingdom of God. I am the root of the kingdom of heaven. And if you follow me, you are the branches. So if the first part is the root, and the second part is the branches, and we know that Jesus is the root and we are the branches, then what are the birds? The birds are the world. This idea that birds will come and rest on branches and the birds representing the nations, Jesus knew exactly what he was saying because in the book of Ezekiel even prophesied about this, talking about the nation of Israel and other nations. He said, we're going to grow into a tree and it's going to have branches and it will cover nations and birds will come and rest on us. This idea that we will be the thing that supports everything else. Jesus is saying, this kingdom of God, you think it's going to come in as like an explosion. You think I'm going to come in like on a horse and a sword and everything's going to be turned upside down overnight. That's not how the kingdom of God works at all. What Jesus was telling them is this. It's going to start small. We know that every movement begins with one person. Every movement. Jesus says this kingdom of God on earth starts and ends with me. I am the kingdom of God. I am the root and you are the branches. And we are going to grow. It's not going to be fast. It's not going to be overnight. It's not going to be something that just changes the world instantaneously. We will grow and we will strengthen ourselves and we will be strong. And the kingdom of heaven will be an influence to this world. Jesus knew exactly what he was talking about. Is that not what we experience in our own lives? From a global perspective, understanding that this kingdom of God, the Christianity as we call it, being followers of Jesus, it's not something that happened overnight. It's been going on for 2,000 years. And still, even as branches, there's branches, let's be honest, that are dead, that need to be cut off, that need to be trimmed so that other branches can grow and be more healthy. We understand that the more that we're rooted in Christ, the healthier we are. And when we're healthy, when the church is healthy, when the kingdom of heaven is healthy, we can help hold this world. That's what Christ wanted. That was his vision of the church. That is what the church should be when we talk about kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. That our strength as the church, our strength as followers of Jesus would be strong enough that no matter what happens in this world, we're going to be able to withstand it. It's not something that happens overnight, but man, it's something that just grows with inside of us. It's global. Those of you who were here for the early day one of Re3, you know that was our idea, is that we wanted to model that. The very first Sunday that we ever met as a group, I stood up in front of you and I said, look, my goal is to run all of you off in 6 months. Like, I don't want you here unless you're going to truly buy into this Isaiah 58 mentality. That you're going to understand that, we're going to grow, and we're going to grow at our pace and God's pace, that we're not going to go out and do all this crazy advertising and all these other things, that we're just going to make sure that we're rooted in what we need to be rooted in. And the next week, everybody who was there came back again, and they got it. And then I started having people say, hey, Mike, do you care if I invite so-and-so to church? And I said, no, do not invite them. And I did. I kind of put a mandate. I said, there will be no guests allowed at Re3 for a year, right? Because I wanted to make sure that our core group understood that we had to grow, that we had to be healthy, that we had to be the tree that God wanted us to be. It didn't mean that we weren't attacked, because we were attacked. It didn't mean that things didn't happen and branches needed to be cut off and things had, it had to happen. And this, we've been around for almost 7 years, and it hasn't been a perfect 7 years. But in my heart, we're strong. Man, we're strong. And we have deep roots because we're rooted in God. I forget sometimes all the things that we've been able to accomplish through God allowing us to go into different parts of the world or do different things until I sit down and start talking to somebody who's never heard of Re3. And they start telling, they say, well, tell me a little bit about it. And I start telling them some stuff, and they're like, well, what do you do? I start telling them about some mission stuff, and then they ask more questions. And I'm just telling these things because to us it's second nature now, right? Like for us, it's about bringing the kingdom of God to everything that we do. Hopefully that's our mentality, that we want to bring the kingdom of God to our marriages. We want to bring the kingdom of God to our jobs. We want to bring the kingdom of God to our schools. We want to bring the kingdom of God to those who are hurt, who are broken, who are less fortunate. We want to bring the kingdom of God to them. So as we're sharing this, and I've had other people tell me the same thing, they just start saying, well, you know, well, this is what we're doing, this is what we've done, this is what da-da-da. And people are blown away. They're like, well, how big is your church? It must be like 1,000 people to get all this done. We're like, no, we're like 100, right? Like, that's it. Like, that's all. And they're like, what? But yes, because it doesn't matter the size of how massive the tree has to be. If the tree is rooted in what it needs to be rooted in, it can withstand the attacks of the enemy because we know that we're surrounded by God, and we can stand up and rise up above the fear, the paranoia, the heartache, the hopelessness, the brokenness of this world. And we can allow the world to come rest on our branches. Amen? That is the story of God. That is the kingdom of God. To build something here on this earth that those who are broken, that those who are far from God, they don't know why, but they're just drawn to a place that they can rest on his branches. But we have to make sure that our branches are strong enough to hold. We have to make sure that we remain rooted in the things that the kingdom of God needs to be rooted in. If it's not rooted in Christ, it's not going to work. If our branches are not finding nourishment from that root, then our branches will not be able to hold. Now, that's the global perspective of the church. It's also very personal. Jesus says, how's your branch? What's going on in your life to strengthen your branch, to be able to hold up the weight of what this world has to give you? And that's where he shifts gears into this second parable. Because what's easy to look at is to read this next verse, because it's only one verse. This is right after Jesus talks about this principle that all things large start with small, and he uses his analogy of the mustard seed, and he goes straight into this one more verse. He says, yet he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all the way through the dough. That was it. He's speaking to his audience. He's been sharing planting analogies, right? Let me tell you about some soil. Let me tell you about some weeds. Let me tell you about this mustard seed. All the farmers there were like, yes, we get this. But Jesus understood that it wasn't just farmers in his audience, that there was women there that needed to hear this, and he would share an analogy that even the men would understand. Because I don't know about you guys, but when I need bread, I just go to the food line and buy a loaf, right? Like, no matter what it is. And we have terms in our house. There's two different terms for bread. There's bread and there's fancy bread, right? And when we want fancy bread, that just simply means I just went and bought a loaf of sourdough, right? I mean, that's it. I mean, there's no bread making going on at our house. But maybe at yours there is. But if there isn't, this is what Jesus was trying to use as this analogy and this symbolism. He says, look, when you want to bake something, When you want to bake a loaf of bread or several loaves of bread, as they would do, because they wouldn't just bake one at a time, they'd often bake many loaves of bread, or you want to bake several cakes, you would take all of this, whatever they would have, the dough, and they would mix it all together and they'd have it ready. But in order to get it to rise, it would take a little bit of leaven or yeast, just a little bit. And they would mix that all into the dough, so when they put it there in their oven and it started to rise, it would actually be something that was edible. People understood this. Women understood this at this time. The men understood that this is what had to happen if the family was going to eat anything bread-related. That if you mix up all the dough and threw it in the oven and you didn't have any yeast or leaven in it, something to make it rise, it would just come out and just be almost inedible. So they understood it just takes this little tiny bit of yeast to make this bread. Now, at first glance, it seems like it's a redundant parable. Jesus is just basically saying, hey, look, you know how it takes a little mustard seed to grow this big bush? It's just like that with the bread you eat. It just takes a little bit of yeast, and all of a sudden you have bread. It just seems very redundant, and we can read through that very quickly. But what Jesus did was as he's talking about the kingdom of God, and he's talking global big picture, I am the root, you are the branches, and our branches will be strong enough to hold the world when they want to come and find rest. He gets very personal with this next one. Because every single time yeast is used in Scripture as an analogy, it always refers to sin. 100% of the time. Jesus didn't change this. He didn't change the meaning of yeast. They understood, as he's talking about the physical and the visible, they understood that he was also going deeper. He was going invisible and spiritual. And so when they heard this and they got the whole, he's talking about sin. Oh, yeah. So what does that mean? Jesus is saying, look, you want something to rise up in your life? It's probably not going to be some major sin that all of a sudden you're going to wake up one day and it's going to happen. It's going to start small and it's going to infest your entire life. That is going to be the thing that's going to get mixed in, that's going to blow up in your life. That's personal. So what is that yeast in your life? I mean, that's a question that we all have to answer. Because Jesus is sharing two parables. They look identical, something small growing into something big, but they're both very different. On one hand, you have the seed of God. You have the seed of the heaven, the seed of kingdom come. If you put that seed of life into your church, into our daily walk, into our lives, into our marriages, our relationship with our kids, our jobs, all of those things, where is fear going to find a place to live? Where is anxiety going to find a place to live? Where is addictions going to find a place to live? Where are all these things going to be able to find? They're not going to be able to, because our root will be strong. Our branches will be strong. And the people that are hurting and broken in this world will be drawn to us like a bird flying that needs rest to land on our branches. And because our root and our branches are what they need to be, we can help provide that rest and that hope to the hopeless, and healing to the broken. But Jesus says, if you're not careful, the exact same principle applies to your life. And you think, you know what, it's just a little bit of sin. You know, I can follow Jesus 99% of my life, but in this 1% of my life, he doesn't care about this. He cares, right? There is no 1% with Jesus. There's no, well, you know what? I got the majority, so everything else you want to do on earth is fine. That does not exist in the mind of Christ. Christ says, I want it all. It has to be all. You think that this dough that God has made your life out of is going to be perfect, but all it takes is just a little bit of yeast, and everything within your life will change. So Jesus is like, you want to follow me? You want to stand here on the beach and you want to hear my teachings, or you want to see the things that I'm doing with miracles? Why are you even still here? He's saying, look, you all have yeast in your life. You all have something that you're not willing to get rid of. And you're allowing this little bit of yeast to change your entire lives. So I'm going to ask you again, what's that yeast in your life? What is that leaven? What is that thing in your life that you just keep hanging on to, you keep coming back to, and you're just like, man, I just wish I could just let it go. Well, let's do it. Let's let it go. Let's give it to God. Is it an addiction? Is it a mindset? Is it a defeated mindset? Oh, you know what? I can never do this. I can never, that would never happen to me. You know who tells you those things? It's the enemy. Because that is not the word of God. The word God says, I have come to give you life and you may have it to the fullest. The word of God says over and over and over, over 300 times, fear not, do not be afraid. I've got this. Like, why are you worried about what tomorrow is going to do? I'm taking care of you today. Like, I am surrounding you in this battle, whatever battle you're facing. And this might be a battle for you to get rid of that yeast. Like I said, it may be a mindset. It may be a defeated mindset. It may be depression. It may be anxiety. I don't know. It may be a hatred. It may be an anger. It may be a grudge. It may be jealousy. I don't know what it is, but it's that thing that we carry around. It will be a battle to get rid of it. But man, we can say, you know what? This is how I'm going to fight that battle. I'm going to make sure that I'm surrounded by God. That I don't have to do this alone. That I know I need to have this taken out of my life because I want to be a place of strength. I want to make sure that Christ is my root and that the kingdom of God is evident in my life and every relationship that I have. Because this world is hurting. This world is broken. And people are craving rest right now. They are craving peace. They are craving hope more than they've ever experienced in any of our lifetimes. We need to be the church that provides that hope. We need to be the church, the body of Christ, the community that provides that rest. So that as the birds, as Jesus calls it, the birds of the air as they fly by, they can find a place to come and rest and find it. Why not us? Why can't that be Project Re3? Because if we want it to be that way, we got to make it personal. And we got to say, God, there's some things in my life I need to change. There's some things in my life that I know I need to let go of. They're addictive behavior. It's stinking thinking, you know, as I used to talk about in youth ministry. Things that need garbage in, garbage out kind of stuff. Like, I know there's some habits I need to change. There's things that I want because I want to be a tree that God, you're proud enough of, that the kingdom of God is represented so that people can rest on my branches. Amen. I don't know what that's going to look like for you. For you, your battle may be small to get rid of. You may already be on that walk to kind of overcome that addiction or that battle or that negative mindset. It may be something bigger. You may need to actually sit down and talk to a counselor or talk to someone that you trust and just get it out. Let them know, expose it, you know, that, man, this is my struggle. This is what I'm going through, but I don't want to have to struggle with this anymore. And just lay it out there. I don't know where you're at on that spectrum, but God is the God that loves you right where you're at. He's ready to forgive. He's ready to give you hope. He's ready to give you strength. Our God is a good God. He is not just this judgmental zap you when you know, you're embarrassed and you want to kind of hide from him. No, he is that God that's just saying, just come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened. And what's he say? I will give you what? Rest. Come to me. Let me give you rest. Let me wash you clean. Let me wipe you up. Let me get you ready. Let me plant you in a place that you can grow and be strong and be the best representation of the kingdom of God that you've ever been in your life. Our prayer today needs to be the prayer that we've prayed the last 3 weeks. Kingdom come. But our prayer today needs to be very personal. Kingdom come in my heart. Where I'm at, God, I need your kingdom in me. Like, I need that. Like, I need air. Like, I need water. Kingdom come. And then we have to pray the hardest prayer that we'll ever pray in our lives. Do whatever it takes. Do whatever it takes, God, for your kingdom to come in my life. We need to pray that as a church. Do whatever it takes for Project Re3 to continue being the kingdom of God that he has planted here on this earth. To be a place that brings rest and peace and love and kindness and beauty to this broken world. A place where we're known as agents of hope and agents of love, no matter where we go. And when people walk in these doors, no matter what kind of world's going on in their life, no matter what their weeks have been through, that they walk in and they just feel the presence of God. And they can't put a name on it, they can't put a finger, but they're like, man, this is what I needed right now. I just need to soak this up. That thing is kingdom come. But it starts right here. Let's pray. Lord, our prayer this morning is truly that kingdom would come. That it comes first and foremost in our hearts. That we can go to you and we can pray and we can say, God, you know me better than I even know myself. You know my quirks, you know my sins, you know my addictions, you know all the little things about me, God, that I know that I hate, but I know that you see as just a hindrance to the kingdom being planted in my life. God, I pray this morning that our prayer is, God, remove that. If there's anything in my life, Lord, that's preventing me from being part of this kingdom, and God, remove it. However, whatever it takes. God, I pray that today for our congregation, for our church, for our Re3 community. That if there's anything at all, Lord, that we're doing that's holding us back from being a kingdom builders and kingdom mindset, then God, show us that. If there's things we need to be doing, Lord, if we've been too idle, if we've sat around for too long, Lord, are you calling us to get back into this world to be who you need us to be, because our branches are strong and we need to be a place where people can find rest, then God, allow us to be that place. Whether it's in our schools, in companies and jobs, in our neighborhoods, or there is a desperate world right now that is seeking comfort from their fear, hope for their hopelessness, and peace in the chaos. God, prepare us first and foremost, so that we can go be who you've called us to be. Let your kingdom come on earth and in our life as it is in heaven. Lord, we pray all of these things in your holy name. Amen.